Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Ayin in Menachos. We're back on Samech Tes Amud Beis. The bottom of Samech Tes Amud Aleph. Okay, and we are questioning. There are a series of questions that are asked by Rami Bar Chama. We asked a question of the Seder, meaning yesterday we started the first question of Rami Bar Chama, when we say that in order to bring wheat and barley and fruit onto the mizbech, well, wheat and barley, let's just leave it at wheat and barley. So the order has to be the omer plus the shtei alechem. So the Gemara, Rami Bar Chama's first question is, what if I switch it around? What if I went shtei alechem followed by then by the omer? Okay, and that's one question that we discussed yesterday. Second question that was asked by Rami Bar Chama was exactly at what point of the development of the tree do I need in order to bring it up onto the mizbeach, the fruit of the tree on the mizbeach? So is it chanata or is it hanatsa? And that was the second question, Rabbi Bar Chama. Then the Gemara went off on a little bit of a tangent. I mean, this is all a tangent, but the Gemara then went off on another tangent. The Gemara wants to know, what if I take barley kernels or wheat kernels and I deposit them in the ground? Meaning I use the ground kind of like as a storage. So the question the Gemara deals with is that considered like it's part of the ground now? Is it legally part of the ground? Or is it just viewed as storage? And the Gemara says it has a nafka mina in terms of the halacha of Omer, meaning is Omer going to be the matir? It has a nafka mina in terms of the isser of ona'a, right, overcharging. It has a nafka mina in terms of the halacha of shvua. And the Gemara says, take on all these questions. The Gemara leaves these questions unresolved. Back now to Rami Bar Chama. We're up to the third question of Rami Bar Chama. We're on Samech Tes Amud Aleph. And the Gemara continues, by Rami Bar Chama, chitim shebeglale bakar sa'orim, shebeglale behema mahu. Okay, the animal goes through its digestive process, and at the end of the digestive process, and I mean that literally, so there are still, you find in the excrement of the animal, you find wheat kernels and you find barley kernels, right? Chita shebeglale bakar and sa'orim shebeglale behema. So in the excrement itself, you find wheat kernels and barley kernels. So when you serve it at the dinner table, what I don't recommend is that you tell your guests, you know, he's eating it and he comments, it's delicious. Well, where did you get this wheat from? Where did you get the barley from? And so I don't recommend that you share with him your secrets in terms of how you got it to this unbelievable qualitative state. So, Lamai.
Is it consumption to animal, maybe?
No.
Is that permitted for animal consumption?
Well, watch.
We'll
see. Just wait 1 second. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, now, is it, the question basically is this. Is it food? Okay, meaning, it's edible. Okay, I know it's not appetizing, but appetizing over here isn't really the key issue. It's edible, certainly edible, and it's got nutritious value to it. Okay, appetizing is a different issue, but it's edible. Is it considered food, or is it considered excrement? Legally, what is the legal status of this that exited the other end of the animal? So the Gemara says, Tanina. Well, would you know, we have a Tosefta that speaks about exactly this issue. So the Gemara says, the Tosefta spells it out, that if I have wheat that comes out of the animal or barley that comes out of the other end of the animal, so if I chishev alem la'achila, if you actually think about using them for food, in other words, you have a machshava while it's still in the excrement, so then that by itself is not enough. Liktan. Good. I knew I was missing something. Liktan la'achila mitamei tumas ochlin. But once you pluck it out, meaning once you actually separate the kernels from the excrement, so it's food. So the Gemara says we actually know what the halacha is, meaning the Tosefta really spells it out. If it's there in the excrement, then all you have is just a machshava. You know, just wait and see. Meaning, you may think about it, but that by itself isn't enough. it's still right now considered excrement that doesn't have the din of food. But once you're malakid, but once you actually separate it from the excrement, so okay, recycling at its best. So it's now considered food. So we know that, and that's not the issue. Ela l'mincha. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the question over here is, can I use this as a mincha? So the Gemara says, now we'll bring back the issue of appetizing. Meaning, yes, it's edible, and yes, it has nutritional value. But you have a guest coming to your house, and he's an important guest coming to your house. Would you really serve this to him? So the Gemara says, of course not. Right? When you have a dignitary, the Pasuk Gemara quotes this Pasuk Malachi often. Right, you have a dignitary come over to your house, right? That is the pechasecha. You have a dignitary come to your house. Are you going to give him something which is stolen or inferior or, in this particular case, coming out of the other end of an animal? Right, you wouldn't do that. That's not something hayisa panecha. Is he going to like that? Is he going to be appeased by that? Of course not. So I'm going to take these barleys and these wheats that came out the other end of the animal, and I'm going to use that as a mincha? The Gemara says, of course not. That's ridiculous. So good. So, vis-a-vis Tumas Ochlim, we know the halacha. Vis-a-vis offering as a mincha, we know the halacha. So, this question, Rami Bar Chama, believe it or not, we don't yet even know what he's asking that we don't know. So the Gemara says, L'tzricha denaktinu v'zar'inu v'kabay l'esuyim minachos minayu. Oh. So the Gemara says, let's do it like this. Let's take the recycled barley, let's take the recycled wheat, let's plant it in the ground again, and let it grow again. So, question is like this. The new growth that comes out of it, is that new growth coming out of it considered totally panim chadashos barlokan? It's like totally new. My mishum de mi'isasu hu became into zarinu, azda le mi'ususaihu. So is the whole issue an issue of mi'us? It's disgusting. But, plant it in the ground, regrow, it's a new growth. Its disgusting nature has left. Or is it not just a question of it being disgusting, and by planting in the ground, it loses that status, but it's an issue of being kachush, meaning having gone through the digestive tract of the animal, it is now qualitatively an inferior grain. And that qualitative nature continues even after it's planted. Now this requires, you know, a little bit of testing on our part, right, to see whether or not an inferior grain that's planted is going to actually grow inferior produce. But the Gemara asserts and the Gemara assumes that that's in fact the case, and the Gemara now wants to know if that's true. The Gemara assumes it is true. So then what would be the halacha over here? Take with the Gemara leaves this question of Rami Bar Chama unresolved. I told you these questions of Rami Bar Chama go for the most part unresolved. By Rami Bar Chama, appeal.
My question was, is Chadash Asa Banu?
No.
It's not okay. Because you could have used that for animal food. That's what
Not no, it's not right. Correct. It's not asabana. By Rami Bar Chama, new question Rami Bar Chama, once again, working through the GI tract of animals. So by Rami Bar Chama, pil shabalak fifa mitzvah vihikia derech beis ari'i mahu. Okay, you have wicker basket, but going through the GI tract of an elephant. We're choosing an elephant over here. Elephant is a very large animal, and it is more than possible for the basket to basically just flush right through the animal. Okay, now, it's a great question. So, the question goes like this. So, the Gemara says, look, if the basket goes in and out through the animal, and it basically washes through the animal. Washing is not really the right way to say it. But if it goes through the animal, it's not going to give the basket a new status of tuma. Or, more to the point, if the basket's already tame, and it goes through the animal, but the basket does not actually undergo any type of physical change whatsoever, the basket still remains tame. The only way for a kli to lose its tuma is either A, to tovel in the mikvah, or B, to give it an actual physical change, a shinoi maisa.
Degradation, right?
So the Gemara says, so that for sure is not even up for discussion, that's not even on the table for discussion. Okay, so what is on the table for discussion? So the our elephant, our resident elephant over here, did not swallow the basket whole, but rather what he did is he ate the raw material for the basket, the actual wicker, the straw itself that was going to be used to make the basket. And then the elephant, this is not digestible, the elephant excretes it on the other end. Now, is the wicker itself, is the leaves themselves, the palm fronds, is it considered now excrement? Does it have the legal status of excrement? Now, this is really the legal mind at work over here. It's fantastic. It's so good. So the and then you made a basket out of it. Miha v'iko havale kekli galalim ukekli adama v'ein mekavlin tuma. Now, did you know the halacha is very clear that certain materials that are used to make kalim are simply impervious to tuma. One of those materials, those raw materials, is excrement. Mm-hmm. Now, hard to imagine that we're going to make kalim out of excrement, but back in the good old days, it was done. Once an excrement dries up and becomes hard, so it was made into kalim. Again, one of those things I wouldn't announce at the dinner table, that bowl, it's a special bowl you're eating out of. I keep that information very close to the vest, but the point is that clay glolim is impervious to tumah. So the legal mind of the Gemara now wants to know the follows. It's just fantastic. So the animal consumed the actual palm fronds, the wicker, and it went through the animal and went through the digestive tract of the animal and got excreted on the other side. Is that now have the legal status of galalim? Does that wicker that comes out the other end, is it considered now excrement of the animal? It didn't go through a digestive process, but it went through the digestive tract. So the Gemara wants to know, is this considered clay galalim? Da'am amar, we learned in the Mishnah, clay avanu, clay galalim, clay adama, imakam, mtoma, lomi divrei tov, lomi divrei sofrim. So, on one hand, we'll give it the status of clay galalim, and therefore the basket that you have now made is a tumah-free basket. Totally impervious to tumah, because even though it looks like a regular wicker basket, and under normal circumstances, we'll say, of course it's mekabel tumah, but since this passed through the digestive tract of the animal, it's now considered clay galalim. That's one possibility. Odim aloha the ikol. Or on the other hand, do you look at it and say, look, it didn't digest. In other words, it may have gone through the animal, but that's not enough to make something galalim. In order for something to make something excrement, it has to go through a digestive process. And since these baskets, these wickers, did not go through the digestive process, so the Gemara says maybe now it is not considered galalim, but we're still going to look at it as wicker. Tif shalem ehad amar ula, mishum rabbi shem abar yotzek, masu avalo ze'evim shnei tinokas be'var yadeh. So the Gemara brings an incident. We've seen this incident before in Shas. It's a terrible incident. Wolves consumed two young children, be'var yadeh, on the other side of the Jordan. Now the matter went in front of the Chacham, and what was the question? Again, let's separate the tragedy of the incidents from the legal discussion which we're now going to have, which is the wolves ate the children and then excreted body parts of the children. Now, question is, those body parts that you see that went through the digestive tract of the wolves, do they have the status of mace? Right? Are they going to give off tumah? So v'tiharu es habasar, and the Chachamim said that as far as the flesh of the children are concerned, it's tahor, meaning it does not have tumas mace. Why? Because it went through the digestive tract of the wolves and now is excreted, and so therefore it has undergone a status change. It's no longer considered human remains. It's now considered digested and excreted matter, and so therefore it does not give off tumah. That was the psak that was rendered by the Chachamim who were asked this question. So the Gemara therefore would like to now translate that to our case. Our case is where the elephant ate the wicker basket, the material, the raw material of the wicker basket, and so one could argue, which the Gemara is trying to do right now, that it's the same. It's the same basic issue. That once it goes through the digestive process of an animal, it now is considered excrement and has the legal status of excrement, not that which went into the animal. So the Gemara gives a what I would consider to be an intuitive distinction, shani baster derachech. So the Gemara says no, because the flesh of the children are softer, and so therefore the flesh, having gone through the digestive process of the animal, renders it actually digested. Okay, even though apparently it was still, you could still make out that it was still human remains, but nevertheless it's a softer material to work with, and therefore it could be considered digested. Velifsha me seifa. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's go.
Does it require burying?
It does, but that's, I don't mean to be so clinical and dry about this issue, but that's not what the Gemara is worried about. The Gemara's focus is whether or not he gives off tumah or does not give off tumah. Right. V'timu es ha'atzamos. Now, the next question that they asked the Chachamim at the time is, what about the bones? Right? Are the bones of these children going to give off tumah? So shani atzamos, and their answer is, yes, the bones still are going to give off tumah. Now, just so you should know, when it comes to the bones of human remains, so bones only give off tumas magen, tumas masa. Bones do not give off tumas ohel. It is true that if you have the entire skeletal structure, or the majority of the skeletal structure, then it gives off tumas ohel. But I think, I would imagine that we're just dealing with just a couple bones here and there. Anyway, the point is that they said it does give off tumah, the bones do give off tumah. So you see that the bones going through the digestive system of the wolves do not experience a status change. So the Gemara says, shani atzamos da kushi tfei. But the Gemara says, yeah, but the bones, you can argue on the other extreme, which is that the bones are very hard and very brittle. And of course bones don't go and undergo a status change, even though it went through the GI tract of the wolves, because bones are hard. That's the whole nature of bones. So the Gemara says, basically, we're in the middle. Meaning, when it comes to the flesh of the children, that has gone through a digestive process, and that has gone through a status change, and that is no longer considered mason, no longer gives off tumas ohel. The other extreme are the bones. The bones are brittle and hard, and that doesn't go through a digestive process. Well, the question that we're asking is kind of in the middle. We're asking about the wicker, the fronds of the branches. They're somewhere between here and here. They're somewhere in the middle. And do they go through a digestive process? And do they go through a status change, having gone through the GI tract of the animal? And the Gemara ends off by saying, I don't know. Okay, we don't know. By Rabbi Zera. Okay, next question. Okay, these questions that we've been dealing with have been in the world of the natural. Now the Gemara entertains the following. Now the Gemara, for those of you who have been in the daf long enough, the Gemara usually does not entertain metaphysics. So meaning the Gemara usually stays with what we know and what we empirically see. By Rabbi Zera, but Rabbi Zera now asks the following question. Chitim shiyardu ba'avim ma'u. Okay, what if we come down from the sky? Okay, now you'll say to me, when did that ever happen? But we had 40 years of that in the desert, where wheat came from the sky. Now I know it's not wheat, it's man, and it's not exactly wheat, it's something else. What it is exactly, you know, I wasn't there, but by Rav Zer, chitim shiyardu ba'avim ma'u, but what if wheat comes from the sky? So ma'u, so the Gemara wants to know, what status does that have? Okay, now Rashi here will be the rationalist for the day. Rashi will serve as somebody who does not look at this as some sort of metaphysical scenario, some supernatural event, but Rashi just takes a simple explanation of the Gemara. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is towards the top of the page. Shiyardu ba'avim, we came from the sky. Im ha-matar kesheshasu ha'avim be'ukainos balusfina meleachitim. So there was a boat in the in the ocean. The Ukainos is usually a reference to the Atlantic. No, yeah, somewhere between the Mediterranean and the Atlantic. So west of Israel. And there was a whirlwind, some sort of an immense storm, and yeah, maybe a tornado, and basically took the contents of the boat and deposited on Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that is how Rashi sets up the case. So Rashi over here says that we're not talking about a supernatural phenomena. We're talking about a very, it's possible, but a weather pattern that basically blew it in from the boat onto the ocean. Okay, I mean, we're going to deal with Tosfos in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, let's go to the Gemara, let's read the Gemara, and then afterwards I'll point to Tosfos, and Tosfos is going to have some very major issues with Rashi, but let's first see the Gemara. So Lamai. Elam and Achos Amai Lav. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? What's the question? The question is about offering it for a mincha. Why not? Elul Ishtei Halachim. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the Ishtei Halachim. Now, what would be the difference? Meaning, why wouldn't I be bringing this for the Ishtei Halachim? My. Mimosh Votzechem. Because by the Ishtei Halachim, the Torah says, in no uncertain terms, that the Ishtei Halachim is brought from your dwelling areas. From the places where you live. And we don't live up in the clouds. Some of us do. I know. Am rachman lafuket dechutz aretz alo. Aval da'avim shapir dami. Now, when it says mimosh rosechem, does that mean we're excluding outside of Eretz Yisrael? But as long as we're within Eretz Yisrael, even though it may be above the actual land itself, that's included. Odilma mimosh rosechem davka ve'afilu da'avim nami lo. Or mimosh rosechem actually means it has to come from terra firma. It has to come from the ground. But if it comes from the sky, even though the airspace is airspace of Israel, that's not sufficient. It has to come from the ground itself. So the Gemara says that's what the Moshe Rosechem is coming to teach us. So the Gemara says, did such a thing ever happen? Meaning, what are we asking about? Are we asking analytical? Are we asking abstract? Are we asking something that was practically there? The Gemara says, in Kid'idi Taya, the Gemara tells a story about an Arab wanderer, the Nechisele Rom Kizbachiti Batata Parse. The Gemara says it actually happened where we came right from the sky. The amount of Tate Parse. Okay, good. This is the Gemara's question, and the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Tosfos over here, it's the third Tosfos down on the page. Tosfos says, I really don't understand Rashi. According to Rashi, what was the whole question? The genesis of this question is that there was some sort of strong weather pattern on the ocean, we'll call it a tornado, the boat was traveling over there, the boat was carrying wheat, and it blew the wheat from the boat onto the land of Israel. Tosfos says, and so what? Meaning, basically, what should be the question? The question should be a really simple one. Where did that wheat come from? Meaning that wheat on the boat, did that wheat come from Eretz Yisrael or did it come from Chutz Laaretz? Shouldn't that really be the question? Well, the Gemara over here is detailing a question of Mimosh Rosechem, on the ground, above the ground. Well, I understand. If the way Rashi set up the case is that it just blew the wheat from a boat, so then just determine where the wheat came from. And if you can't determine where the wheat came from, so call it a suffix. So, but what, you know, what's the Tosfos says? I don't understand what the Gemara is contemplating according to Rashi. Tosfos inside, Perish Bekunshus, Sheshasu Beokanus, Uvalu Svino, Malay Chitim, Bekashla Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi's own grandson says, I don't understand. The Imi Chutz Arts, the Chihucho, the Shealachim, the Shoshayu, Bavim, Mekamakam, Mimosh Rosechim, Bein, and Veleka. If the wheat comes from Chutz Arts, so just because it now has flown through the airspace of Israel, that's going to make a difference. The Eretz Yisrael, and if the wheat originated from Israel, the Chine Esrin Hein Al Yidei Kach, well, just because they flew in the air a little bit, so now they're going to become Aser, that doesn't make any sense either. Rabbeinu Tam says, I simply don't understand my grandfather and his pshat. So Ella Nirali Da Al Yidei Neis Yardu Ba'avim Kianu Atmasa De Perek Dal De Misa. So Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam says, I think the pshat is, it was a miracle. Meaning Rabbeinu Tam says the Gemara is considering a miraculous event of wheat falling down from the heavens. Okay. Interesting, Tosfos says it is precedented. We do find the Gemara elsewhere raise such an issue, but certainly interesting on the part of Rabbeinu Tam. He feels that that is the Gemara's question.
It's still considered
Chutz
Laaretz, though.
Well, that's what the Gemara wants to know. Meaning when the Gemara says, Mimosh Rosechem, does that include ground and airspace? Right. If it's airspace, if it includes airspace, so then, yes, so then even the miraculous wheat that comes down from heaven. Okay. By Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Okay, more questioning. Until we get to the next Mishnah, Daf Ayin, which is today's Daf, you'll see a lot more of this. No more miracles, though.
But don't we tend to obviate miracles?
Yes, certainly, right.
So, you know, we push it aside.
I guess that's what's motivating, that's what's pushing Rashi towards his direction. By Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Shibosha Yavi Shlish Karnum La Omer, the Akra. V'shasla la'achra omer. V'hosifu mahu. Okay. You have a stalk. A stalk of wheat. And shehivir shlish. It is now one-third ripened. One-third ripened is usually the benchmark of, we can eat it now. Right? It's no longer, if it's below a third ripened, we basically say give it to the animals. The Gemara usually calls that shachas. Right? Animal fodder. But now that's the third ripened, so you and I can enjoy it. Okay, so he vishlish, so it's the third ripened, and this happened before the Omer. Now, at this point in time, we should all agree that once the Omer comes, the second day of Pesach comes, it becomes mutter. Okay, but the story doesn't end. You over-ochre it, then you uprooted it. Now, from Rashi, it sounds like the way Rashi describes it is that you uprooted it prior to the Omer. Vishasla la'achar ha'omer. And then you replanted it after the Omer. So you uprooted the stalk before the Omer, and you replanted it after the Omer. Now, the Omer certainly was a matir. We all agree. But now what happens is that when you replant it, you're going to get new growth. New growth after the Omer. V'osifu ma'o basar ikar azlin v'sharya Omer, odilma basar tosefas azlinan, Omer Haba. Okay. We certainly know that the main part of this stalk, meaning the main fruit inside, the original fruit inside, is going to be mutter, right? Because it experienced the Omer. However, now that I replanted it, now that it has new growth, how do I qualify that new growth? How do I look at that new growth? Is that new growth simply an extension of the original? Or is that new growth considered a new entity? Okay. Tishul Ameha. So the Gemara says, okay, well, what I'll do is, I'll show you a Mishnah, and this is not a Mishnah. I apologize. It is a statement by Rabbi Yochanan, and basically we can extrapolate. So, Dam Rabbi Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Yalda Shesivcha Bezikena. I have a new tree. A new tree where it started growing fruit, right? Fruit that grows on the tree for the first 3 years after planting the tree is arla. Arla is asr. Arla you're not allowed to eat. Arla you're not allowed to benefit from. Arla is asr. So I took this tree, which was within the first 3 years of its growth, and it already has a fruit on it, and shesavcha bezikena, and I grafted it onto an old tree. Old tree over here just simply means it's over 3 years old. Uva peros afilu hose. I'm sorry, uva peros. Now the new tree, we are focusing on the fruit that's on the new tree. Okay? So, usually when I take a plant and graft it onto another plant, usually it assumes the identity of the tree that I grafted it onto. However, prior to the grafting, it already had a fruit on it. That fruit for sure is arla. And just because I take the new tree and attach it to an old tree, that's not going to change the fruit. The fruit is arla. No, let me say it differently. The fruit was arla. The fruit continues to be arla. That's for sure. However, after the grafting, the fruit now grows even bigger. Afilu hosef b'masayim. The Rav Yochanan says, even if it grows 200 times larger than it originally was. Now, why the Gemara chose the word number 200? So we all know why. Because when it comes to Arla, a mixture of Arla is only batel at a ratio of 1 to 200. Okay, those are big numbers. But the Gemara's point over here is as follows. Even if you have that, even if the original is only a fraction of the new growth, and even if the new growth is 200 times the original, it's still going to be aser. Okay, the Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar of Yonasan, And let's just keep going, because the Gemara is going to give another scenario which basically points to the same idea. But I have an onion that I plant in a vineyard. Now that's called kalayim, right? That's a mixture. So v'nekar ha-kerem, and then I uproot the entire vineyard. So now the onion's there by itself. Doesn't matter. The onion grew in a vineyard. The onion is now usur. The isur is called kalayim. I feel a hosif b'masayim. And even if there's new growth on the onion, and even if the new growth is 200 times greater than the original size of that onion, usur. So the Gemara says, so you see from these two scenarios, it points to the same thing. That I don't care how much new growth grows on it. You look at the original fruit, and the original fruit is the identity of the fruit. And even if there's new growth, and even if that new growth grows under different circumstances, it doesn't matter. You look at the original, and the original really is the identity. Okay, so it should come out over here. Let's take it to our case. Our case is I had a stalk, and it grew, and I plucked it out of the ground, and then it experienced the omer, which means now that it's mutter, and I replanted in the ground after the omer, and there's new growth. So our conclusion should be, who cares?
It's not parallel.
Who cares? Okay, so, good. So the Gemara says, he goofa kami bayalei. So the Gemara says, look, even after bringing these two examples, the grafting example of arla, and the onion example of kalayim, the Gemara says, you still haven't really resolved the issue. Why? Because pshita le rabbanan de basri kazlina loshna lekula veloshna lechumra. In these two cases of our grafting and our onion in the vineyard, is it that the rabbis were absolutely certain that we always follow the ikar? Is that it? Odilma sfuka misafka lehu. Or they were just simply in a state of suffix. Meaning, I don't know. I don't know if we follow the Iker. I don't know if we look at the Tosefis as a new entity or we don't look at it as a new entity. Maybe the Chachamim are simply saying, I don't know. So, let's be machmir. But if the issue is, I don't know, so then we can't, so Lechomra will be machmir. But we won't be Makel. Meaning our interest over here is to be mako. We're uprooting a stalk of wheat or a stalk of barley before the omer. Now it experienced the omer, which means that right now that kernel is mutter. But then I replant in the ground and now it has new growth. Maybe the Chacham just didn't know how to look at that new growth. Maybe the new growth is just simply a derivative of the ikar and therefore should be mutter. Or maybe no, the new growth is a new entity. And if it's a new entity, he can't eat it. It's chadash. I gotta wait till next year. I gotta wait till the next omer in order to eat it. So the Gemara says, so we don't know. Even based on our two precedent cases of the grafting and of the onion, we don't know. Teiku. The Gemara says, we'll leave this question unresolved.
Because it's not a subject of the...
Correct.
You don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is. We don't know how to look at it. Okay, by Rabbah, le'inyan ma'aser mai. So the Gemara says, okay, let's basically take the same question and let's ask it in a different realm of agricultural law. Let's ask it vis-a-vis the question of ma'aser. Hechidami. We are now on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. Kegon. De'amdina v'asrina v'shaslina v'hosifaluhu. Okay, we took the stalks. We gathered it. We estimated how much it's going to be, and we took off ma'aser. Okay, so far so good. Now the remaining stalks obviously are masuka.
You do a ma'aser on something that processes.
Yes, correct.
Right, and you haven't done any.
Okay. Okay, I hear you. Vishas linhu. Then what we did is we put it back into the ground. The hosifalahu, and then new growth. Okay. Now, imtim salomar lo azlin basa ikar vetosefas bayisuri ikar mai. So the Gemara over here is going to basically ask the same question, but actually, if you study this well and you really think about it, it's actually the same question and then even a little bit more. What do I mean by that? Well, the Gemara now is is thinking about is the following. I put it back in the ground. In other words, remember now, we took it out of the ground, we took off Trumas and Maestros, and then so it's Mesukan, it's totally fixed, okay? And then we put it back in the ground. And now it grows more. Okay, so again, how do I look at that new growth? Is it just simply a derivative of the Ikar, or is that new growth now new entity? So the Gemara says, let's entertain, this is Rabbi's question, let's entertain that it's a new, that's new. It's a new entity. Maybe, no, forget maybe. If it's a new entity, I certainly have to take Trumas and Maestros on that new growth. That goes without saying. Maybe, now Rabbi, this is the added dimension of his question, not only do I have to take Trumas and Maestros on the new growth, but maybe even the original, which I already took off Trumas and Maestros, maybe I have to take Trumas and Maestros over that again. Meaning that the Iker also takes on the status of new. We were entertaining earlier the issue of, is the new growth considered a derivative of the Iker? Now we're going to go even one step further. Does the Iker take on the new status of the growth? And the Gemara says, "Basa Iker v'tosefes b'yisuri Iker mai." So Amalei Abaye Maishnah Mikolchiti v'sa'ara da'ama. So the Gemara says, you know what that's called? That's called planting. Meaning, doesn't that happen every single time you plant? Meaning, isn't that just a question of new growth? So the Gemara says, Amarle, no. Davisha Zaru Kalalo Mi Bayale. No. When you take a seed and you plant it into the ground, you know what happens to that seed? Totally decomposes. Okay, so, no. This is not an issue of planting. Alaki Kami Bayale, Davisha in Zaru Kala. Over here, though, I'm asking where I still have the original fruit, or in this case, the original kernel. Meaning, I plucked it off the ground, but I didn't shell it, and I didn't make it just a kernel. I left it intact in the stalk, and then I replant the stalk in the ground, and so here it is. I still have my ikar, I still have what I started with, plus the new growth. That's why this question over here is not just a simple question of planting. My tivshalei mehad am Rav Yitzchak, am Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara says, well, how about the following? We have a statement by Rabbi Yochanan. If I have a liter of onion, and I was misakein, meaning I took off Trumas and Maestros, and then I took the onion, I replanted in the ground, right? Everyone remember back in their youth how you took your roots and you put the roots back into the water and it sprouted again, or you put it back in the ground? So, Litra Batzor Shetikna Vizaro Mitzasel Ifi Kulo. So, there Rav Yonasan says, so after now replanting in the ground, and it grows again. So, how do you figure Trumas and Maestros? Don't separate the new growth from the original. You take off Trumas and Maestros based on its entirety. So, the Gemara says, good. So, that seems to be a very clear answer to our question of how do we view it after I replant it in the world of Trumas and Maestros. Hasam Hainu Zriyaso. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's onions. That's what you do with onions. That's how you plant onions. So ha chalav hainez riyasa. But here we're talking about a bizarre scenario where I'm taking a stalk of grain and I'm replanting the stalk back into the ground. So maybe over here it's different. Amalei Rav Chanina bar Menuma la'abaye. Okay, and good. And that ends that discussion.
Why don't they suggest that, why don't they bring back whatever master they took off, recombine it with this new growth, and then calculate master again?
No, oh, that's complicated.
No, but I mean, if there's a question of figuring out, you know, like whether what category...
Right, but the Gemara is, what the Gemara is entertaining is that maybe even the Iker, maybe even the original, has a totally new status. That's what the Gemara is entertaining. So to reuse the same Isa that you used before is no good, because it has a totally new status.
But the thing is that, since master has to be exact, that's the whole concept.
Correct.
The one master
correct.
Be exact.
So if that which was replanted now has a totally new status, so it now needs a totally new tithing. Okay, think about it. This is okay. Amalei Rav Chanina bar Menuma la'abaye. Atzo sheino nakav mahu. Okay. In order to be chayv in Trumas HaMaestros, you have to plant in Eretz Yisrael, meaning in the ground in Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
Take a little ground and put it in a pot, and the pot doesn't have holes in it. It's not perforated.
Wow.
Okay, so that's a pot. Now, midrabanan, you're going to take off Trumas and Maestros, but it's not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael means in the ground. Atzusheno nakav mao, ilo nakav, halo nakav. So the Gemara starts off with a typically Jewish response, well, what do you mean? If it doesn't have a hole, it doesn't have a hole. I mean, what's your question? So it's on the ground. Dilmam, chazer v'nikvu kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe your question goes like this. It was planted in a pot that didn't have holes in it, which means that it's not part of the ground. And then, after it started growing a little bit, then you perforated the pot. Mm-hmm. Perforation now creates communication between the dirt inside the pot and the ground outside. Okay, now we're talking. So now, its first stages of growth, it grew in a pot that didn't have holes in it. Not chayav and shumas amaisos min haTorah. Then, the second stage of growth, you put holes in the pot. Good. Now it's chayav and shumas amaisos min haTorah. So hacha chad azrihi ichburuhu dekamichbara va'ola. So the Gemara says, sorry, chazav nikvu kamar. Okay, that's the question. So hacha chad azrihi ichburuhu dekamichbara. So the Gemara says, now don't compare what you just asked with what we've been talking about up until now, because here it's one planting. Meaning, yes, it's true, you put holes in the pot, but it's just one planting. It's one act of planting. So there, we could look at it as a continuation. Previously, with the stalks of grain, we talked about planting it. Actually, physically taking it out, stalk out of the ground and replanting it. Right? You could see how that's different. You could see how that second planting is considered a totally new planting altogether. Hashem shtei zrius ninhu. Okay. By Rabbi Abba, Shibol Shemarcha Bikri, Vishasla, Vikara La Shem, Bemechubar, Mahu. I have an ear that, ears of grain, I do mi ruach, I smooth out the pile, Vishasla, Vikara La Shem. And we take off Shumas and Maisos, and what we do is we reap. I'm sorry. Let me be clear about the case over here. We do Miruch HaKri, which now means it's obligated to Shumas HaMaisos, meaning we took it off and we smoothed out the piles, and then we put it back into the ground. And after putting it back into the ground, Karal HaShem, which means that I have now designated Shumas HaMaisos while it's connected to the ground. Kevin Demarcha Tavlala, Ki Karal HaShem Kachala. So the Gemara says, look, I took it out of the ground, and I did Miruach, so now it is Tevel, which means it's obligated to Shumas HaMaisos. So even though I replanted it, but still, designating the parts of the Trumas and Maisos should work. Or planting in the ground is considered now a new act of planting, and therefore it has lost its shame tevel. It's no longer considered tevel. Amalei Rabban La'abai im kein matfina truma b'mechuba l'karka v'tznan. You're really having a discussion now about taking off Trumas and Maisos from something that's connected to the ground. How can we have that discussion? The Gemara says, we learned in the Mishnah, Lo matzina truma b'mechuba l'karka. No such thing. No such thing as truma, which is connected to the ground. So Amar Lei, so he says, Kitanya hi le'inyin ichiyuve misa v'chomish. So the Gemara says, no. You really misunderstood that Mishnah. That Mishnah is not saying that there's no such thing as truma with something connected to the ground. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that there's no such thing as a liability for truma that's connected to the ground. Meaning, if you eat it, it will not come with it a liability. Right. Why? The eat talish va'achel talishu. Because if you uprooted it, so it's no longer considered mechubal karka. It's not connected to the ground anymore. Meaning, it is truma, and once you have uprooted it, you're eating truma. Meaning you, the non-Kohen. And you'll have full liability for having eaten truma, but it's not connected to the ground. And igachen va'achel, and so now, in order for you to eat it while it's connected to the ground, that means that you're going to have to bend down and actually bite it while it's still connected to the ground. And you know what that's called? Weird. That's weird. And the Gemara says, Bala daito eitzel kol adam. That's not achila. Meaning, we've discussed this many times throughout Shas. In order for you to have a liability for eating, it's got to be a normal eating. Oh, abnormal eating is not considered eating, right? It's not considered normal, as they say. It's just, and And in order to violate the Isra of Achila, has to be an Achila that is normal. If you want to act weird, Batla Daita Itza Kol Adam, you're going to be, you're negated by what is considered normal practice and normal conduct. So, fine. So, but that's all the Mishnah means. The Mishnah just doesn't mean that there's no such thing as Truma connected to the ground. There is such a thing as Truma connected to the ground. Like our scenario, where I plucked it from the ground, I did Miruch HaKri, and then I put it back in the ground again, and then I designate it as Truma. But the only thing the Mishnah is telling us is that you can't, as a technicality, you can't be liable for eating Truma that's connected to the ground, because either I pluck it and it's no longer connected to the ground, or I bend down and eat it and that's not considered Nechila. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ishna mitikasav apinka, apinkas de ilfa, beitz nivlas ha'ofa Torah miksasam b'chutz miksasam b'fnim." Ilfa wrote the following in his notebook. Right? When he came to yeshiva, he had a notebook in his yeshiva. And he wrote things down in his notebook. And here's what he wrote down. I have the carcass of a bird. It's a kosher bird, but it didn't receive a proper shechita. Now, everyone here remembers the halacha? When you eat the carcass of a non-shechted kosher bird, you're going to be tameh. Tumas beis abliya. Right? It has to, the food has to go into your throat. Once the food has hit your throat, you're now tameh. By eating it. Special gzeres the kusuf when it comes to the eating of kosher birds that did not receive a shechita. Okay, now, what about eating the eggs of these birds? So Ilfa wrote the following in his notebook. Here's what he learned in yeshiva that day. What a day in yeshiva. The eggs that are outside of the bird before it died, those are not considered carcass of the bird. The eggs that are inside the bird while the bird died, those eggs are considered carcass of the bird. Okay, and that means, now is a simple nafkamina. So, mi bifnim mitam begadam abeis abliya. If he were to eat the eggs that were inside the bird at the time of death, so now he's eaten nevela, and he'll be tamei. Mi b'chutz, if he ate the eggs that were outside at the time of death, so emitam begadam abeis abliya. So, you're not allowed to eat the eggs, but... Again, the focus over here is just on the world of Tum and Tahara. You're not tumming.
The bird died, laid an egg, and then died.
But there was two eggs in
it.
No, you're right.
No, you're right. I didn't think it through.
Yeah, the egg is still in transit, though.
No, the egg was outside after... No shechita. The bird just died. No, Aaron, you're right. You're right. So, Abesh Abliya Talosh... So, the Gemara says... So why is the Gemara bringing up Ilfa's notebook and what Ilfa wrote in his notebook? Because how are you eating those eggs inside the bird? So as Rashi describes over here, and it's not that appealing, basically you took a bite of the bird, and not only did you take a bite of the bird, right, we're talking about the carcass of a bird, but you took a bite of the eggs of the bird. Now the eggs are sitting inside the cavity of the bird. This is, the Gemara is suggesting, this is weird. Much like bending down and eating wheat as it's connected to the ground, this is also weird. But the Gemara answers very simply, no, it's not so weird. Talosh avidi inshi da'achli. Hachi b'mechubar lo avidi inshi da'achli. The Gemara says very simply, look, right? When you sit down and you eat your bird, now this bird happens to be a nevela. It didn't receive a proper shechita. But still, when you eat bird, you're apt to eat all the different parts of the bird, even the insides of the bird. Okay, even the eggs inside the bird. However, when we're talking about talush, I'm sorry, mechubal karka, you're talking about wheat connected to the ground, it is very bizarre. It is not within the realm of normalcy to bend down and take a bite out of wheat that's connected to the ground. Amrav tivyumi bar kisna amr shmo hazarei klein ba'atit sheino nakov aser. Okay? So... if you eat kalayim that was planted in a pot that doesn't have holes in it, you can't. Meaning it's forbidden, it's kalayim. So I'm Rabbi Bishlami Yashmina Loka Makas Martis Midrabban and Shapir. Now, when we say Asr, what level of Isr are we talking about? If you want to tell me it's just an Isr Durabbanan, I can entertain that because it's in a pot, it's not in the ground. So Ella Asr Maika Mashman de Midrabban have Yazriya Tanina. Time Shano Nakov Al Nakov Chuma Vyachsa Vitrum. So the Gemara says that midrabanan, it is considered planting. meaning on a daraisa level, it's not in the ground, but midrabbanan is considered planting. Okay. Good. That ends the tangent. That was a lot of tangential discussions that the Gemara had, started prompted by the questions of Rami Bar Chama about questions about order of Omer Shtei Alechem, and then it really took us on a path of wheat falling from the sky. But the really the bulk of today's discussion had to do with growth and how to view growth. And essentially, the question of the day, if I can encapsulate today's daf, the question of the day is, how do you view new growth? Is new growth just simply a derivative of the original, and it basically has the status of the original? Or is new growth considered like a new entity, separate and distinct from the original? And although, in terms of being machmir, we're certainly going to be machmir to call it a derivative of the original, but we want to know vis-a-vis being makel. Are we ready to be makel about that new growth? And the Gemara basically did not come up with a resolution of how to view that new growth. Okay, we'll stop over here tomorrow, pick it up with the Mishnah. Tomorrow we come back to the Isser of Chadash, and a very good discussion tomorrow about the Isser of Chadash.